Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, question over here.
So my question to you, because you're such an inspiration to Catholicism, Schnalls, what advice would you give to somebody who's trying to spread the love of the Eucharist to the world?
I'm sorry, the love of the what? The love of the who? This is Wretched Radio. That is a questioner at an event that featured Roman Catholic Michael Knowles and a Protestant Charlie Kirk. He would like to start a podcast to share the love of the Eucharist with the world. In fairness, in the mind of the Roman Catholic, they would say, well, that's the same thing as saying sharing the love of Christ. The Protestant should protest and say, no, you're introducing elements. The bread and the wine, they represent the body and blood, but they don't actually become the body and blood, which is, of course, Roman Catholic dogma, which is why this young man would say he wants to share the love of the Eucharist, because you get to consume Christ when you, well, they teach, you get to consume Christ when you go to communion at a Roman Catholic church. After, of course, the priest summons the second person of the Trinity from his throne to come down to be re-sacrificed on an altar. A Protestant would say, that is a bridge way too far, because the elements aren't Christ. They're elements. It's bread. It's wine. Or, of course, if you're a Baptist, it is grape juice. The conversation that ensued moved away from the Eucharist for the most part, but Charlie Kirk started to engage Michael Knowles. You be the judge as to how they did. I thought there were some things that Charlie Kirk, you know, that dude, you want to wrangle with him, you're looking for getting some bruises. And some of the things that he said, I was like, well done, son. On the other hand, we need to remember the Roman Catholic Church and their attitude toward us. This was not brought up in the conversation, but the reality is the Roman Catholic Church believes that those of us who believe in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as codified in Roman Catholic dogma in the middle of the 16th century at the Council of Trent, says we're anathema. The conversation also veered into the office of the papacy, for which I'm grateful, and Charlie Kirk, he wasn't fond of the Pope because he's a Marxist. I think there's other reasons that we shouldn't be fond of the Pope.
I think probably the papacy is the biggest hoax ever foisted upon the world in the name of Christianity. This is an arrogant idolatry. It's an arrogant, arrogant idolatry. A horrible thing. As J.C. Ryle said, a gigantic system of church worship, sacrament worship, Mary worship, saint worship, image worship, relic worship, priest worship, and pope worship. A huge organized idolatry. It seduces. It's satanic. True church has nothing to do with it. It is Christless. The head of the church, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago when we were going through this to start with, is none other than Christ. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That's what I was saying this morning. Diminish Christ and you lift up the ministers. Exalt Christ and the ministers disappear.
That was pretty clear. That was pretty clear. Wish Charlie hadn't ceded ground by saying that he's grateful for Roman Catholic influence in society. I can affirm that. But there is a very wide river. It's the Tiber between the Vatican and Protestantism. It's grace alone versus works. It is a system of work righteousness that Rome has believed really for centuries, and especially at the Council of Trent, when they adamantly responded to the reformers and said, you're anathema if you believe in grace alone. More than that, though, historically, the Pope, he's been considered by every single Protestant reformer, every single Puritan, And I would say every solid guy pretty much till today would say, actually, the Pope isn't just a Marxist. He's the Antichrist, or at least the office of the papacy is Antichrist. Charlie Kirk was not happy with the Pope because he believes he's a Marxist who doesn't have very good Catholic dogma, but he didn't denounce the papacy. And he didn't make a break from Rome, which, by the way, Rome made just as much as Protestants made with Catholics, Catholics made against Protestants. I would love to say we're one big happy family, but evangelicals and Catholics are not together. There are so many issues. It's not just the office of the papacy. Mariology, it is the sacraments, the Eucharist. That is a massive issue. Praying to saints, purgatory, merits and treasures that can be purchased. These are all issues that I'm afraid divide. And while Charlie, I thought, got some nice jabs in, if you will, I understand he had to be polite because of the context of this conversation and presentation, although I don't recall another time when Charlie ever put gloves on to deal with somebody with whom he disagreed. Nevertheless, I wish that he had been much clearer and said, look, Michael, I like you. I'm so glad for your fight for life, your traditional marriage stance. It is so admirable. But my friend, as you know, for centuries, there's been a divide between Protestants and Catholics, and it's not just the papacy. The doctrine of justification is really the hinge on which the Protestant Reformation swung. Swing, swang, swung. How do you get saved? Are you made righteous, declared righteous, or are you becoming righteous? Which, by the way, is an exploration that we will do later this week when we take a deeper dive into Eastern Orthodoxy. I finally found a book that deals with Eastern Orthodox dogma that will help us understand, first of all, why it is so hard to understand Eastern Orthodox. Second of all, what is their position on the doctrine of justification? Let us listen to the conversation that ensued between Charlie Kirk and Michael Knowles.
Okay, well, you know, that's wonderful that you're going to do that. I think it's great. Most of the time people say, Michael, I want to start a podcast. What's your advice? And my advice is don't, because too many people have them. And I think every white man under the age of 75 has one now, and it's by law or something. So.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, it's funny that he brought up podcasts.
Oh, really?
Tell me again about the email that you sent. Come on. This is big.
I'm trying. We have, four or five new podcasts at Fortis Institute. And in just 13, 14 weeks that they've been released and out, they're now all in the top 10% of all podcasts in the world.
How many podcasts are there in the world?
Almost 4 million.
This is so encouraging. Yeah. These podcasts are so good. And you're thinking, whoo, they must be expensive. Jimmy, why am I talking to you like you're Don Pardo? Tell everybody how much the podcast costs to listen to at FortisPlus.org.
For the low, low price of $0.
That's so affordable.
But this is the first time in memory that someone has proposed some new content project where I've thought, great, you should do that. That's really good. And my advice is, you should recite the St. Thomas Aquinas prayer that he would have before study or writing or speaking for God to illumine his darkened mind. And then what you should do is, pray a little bit more. Praying is the first resort, not the last resort. And then this is something, Charlie, that, we mackerel snappers, we get. We don't need to reinvent the wheel every year. We got 2,000 years of people who are much smarter than you and I.
Now, that much I'd agree with. But who has access to those writings, to those councils, to former teachings? And the answer is we all do, Catholics and Protestants alike. The question, of course, is what level do we esteem those external writings? In other words, how much do we value? How much do we trust? How much do we take at face value what those writings teach versus the Bible? And so what is going to be revealed now, of course, is Michael Knowles believes that there is a repository of dogma that exists only inside of the Roman Catholic Church, courtesy of the Magisterium. So go read it and you're going to know the truth. Now, at that moment, Charlie Kirk should have jumped up and said, hold on, sola scriptura.
Thought this out, we've debated these questions. So if you just bring that, if you convey that, I'm trying to sell Charlie on this right now. I know I'm answering you, but I'm really speaking to Charlie. If you just do that, that's all you're doing. You're just telling the story. You're telling the greatest story ever told. And you have the deposit of faith and you have the magisterium behind you. It is as a hermeneutic of interpretation. But
massive Protestant Catholic distinction.
To do that, you know, and do that in sincerity and do that with the best of your effort. And I think it'll be wonderful.
As an evangelical who loves Catholics, I love that you're doing it. But let me just edit what
you
say.
Here's the butt.
It's a big one. You didn't catch it, Michael. Yeah. Is that your goal should be to bring people to Jesus, not Catholicism.
Oh, hold on. No. What's the difference?
What's the difference? How much time do you have?
Hold on.
I'm not saying that they're contradictory, but your goal should not be to bring people.
No. They are contradictory because Roman Catholic dogma teaches you have got to embrace all of Roman Catholic dogma and be in the Roman Catholic system if you want that direct highway to heaven. Otherwise, you have lesser light, you have lesser knowledge. And while you can make it to heaven, which has turned into universalism because they believe that is also true for Muslims and any other world religion, it is the Roman Catholic Church that is the bright light, that is the one that knows the fullness of truth. How would you respond? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
You know that awkward moment when your theology starts to collide with real life? You know, when you're quoting Romans in your head while you're losing it in traffic. Yeah, we've all been there. And that's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. It's one of the brand new productions of Fortis Institute that helps you take biblical truths, the ones that are stuck in your head, and actually help you to live them out. Download the Fortis Plus app and get instant access to hundreds of hours of content that'll help you stand firm when the culture is trying to knock you over. Just visit fortisinstitute.org. Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming.
It takes robust faith to have a marriage that thrives.
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Don't settle for survival mode. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Big news from Fortis. As you know, we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org. Now we're adding someone incredible to the mix, our very first fellowette. Starting February 7th, Libby Glosson, one of the finest biblical counselors in the country, will be joining the team. She'll be doing a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. Not because we're trying to check some type of box, but because she's that good. See what I mean? February 7th at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom.
Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You might think at least Peter would be the head of the Jerusalem church, but he's not. According to Galatians chapter 2 and Acts chapter 15, the head of the Jerusalem church was James.
That's a little problem if you're Michael Knowles. This is Wretched Radio. Michael Knowles, a Roman Catholic talk show host, appearing with Protestant Charlie Kirk. The question of Roman Catholicism and the sharing the love of the Eucharist came up and an exchange ensued. Michael Knowles, I don't think he was being as Catholic as Catholic dogma demands. He should have been much more, well, I'll use a less polite word. I was going to say anathematize, but he should believe that Charlie Kirk is damned because that's what the Roman Catholic Church believes about Protestants for a number of dogmas. Not just grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. It is also the office of the papacy. If you do not affirm it and that Peter was the first pope, then you are anathema. And I wish that Charlie Kirk, while being pretty sharp in a couple of the exchanges, I don't think he was being as Protestant as he should be. Evangelicals and Catholics aren't together. I wish they were. I really do. That would be much... It would be, in my estimation, wonderful. But that would require the Roman Catholic Magisterium to overturn centuries of codified dogmas. And they're not going to do that. They can't do that because that would be an admission that the entire system has been corrupt. Let's return to that exchange from Charlie Kirk, Protestant, Michael Knowles, Roman Catholic.
Why is it that Catholics acknowledge divine books that Jews themselves don't think are divine? The keepers of the Torah don't even agree with your canon.
It's like the
wisdom of Ben Sirah, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. According to rabbinical teaching, those are not divinely inspired books. Yet Catholics say we like those. Why?
Yeah, well, so...
We know the answer to that. Because they had to be identified and included in the canon, which they were in the middle of the 16th century. I'm not really good at math, but I took the time to use my calculator and figure this out. The 16th century is... Well, it's like 16 centuries after the first century. The Bible was already being circulated, not in a book with a binding, but the books that we have in the Bible were already being identified in the first century that these are the books that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter, he identifies Paul as being inspired by the Spirit. And so this debate over which books are in, that was settled in the first century with all due respect to Dan Brown, it wasn't the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. It was the 16th century when the Roman Catholic Church, in response to the Protestant reformers who were pointing out you have no scriptural support for the office of the papacy, for Mariology, for transubstantiation, for your work righteous system, for purgatory, they had to codify those books because they were the only ones that even hinted at those dogmas.
There are a few reasons. One, that the Douay Rheims, which is the Catholic Bible, is based on the Septuagint. The Masoretic texts, which come later, are the ones that the Protestant Bible and the more recent Catholic Bibles are based on. And there is some discrepancy, at least in numbering of certain things. But also...
No. Maybe numbering. But those were added. We've always understood the 66 books. The Jewish faith, they numbered their books differently, but the 39 we have, they had. I think their number was more like 30-something because they combine like 1st and 2nd Samuel. But otherwise, the Jewish religion does not recognize the apocryphal books as being biblical.
I mean, you say, well, if rabbinical Jews think one thing, why don't you think that? And I'd say, I don't know, because we're a different religion.
No, but hold on a second. No.
But you can't dismiss it that easily.
But we're the inheritors of the Torah as referenced by people that were schooled in that. Yeah, so the Tanakh. So Protestantism has an identical mirrored image of the Torah and the Tanakh. And they, again, in traditional rabbinical teaching, they do not believe those books are divinely inspired. Anyway, I know the answer and you're not going to like it, but that's fine. It's because in those books, it allows for a lot of the practices of the Catholic Church.
Attaboy, Charlie.
However, I don't want to get too deep in this. I actually think the world...
I wish he had. I really do. And then modeled graciousness. Oh, that would have been really groovy.
It's a better place because of faithful Catholics. I've spoken out with great criticism.
See, I just... Has the Roman Catholic Church stood, for the most part, pretty well regarding life and marriage? Sure. but it is a system that damns. It's not, that's the measurement that matters. And from that perspective, it has been horrible for the world.
Of how evangelicals remained quiet here in Arizona on Prop 139, while the Catholic diocese was so courageous on the fight for life, while evangelicals were silent. I want a better Catholic Church, and I personally would not be able to be part of an institution with the head, the figurehead, with a worldview that is so corrupted and opposite of what I think the Bible teaches. But
actually, we should be opposed to that man, not because of his Marxism. It's his theology, and it's his usurpation of the office and the chair that only Jesus Christ should be sitting in.
It was James, not Peter at all. There's no indication whatsoever that Peter had anything to do with the city of Rome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul addresses the factions in the Corinthian church. He says, some of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas or Peter, I of Christ. Now, he doesn't sort Peter out. He doesn't make any great thing of him at all. In fact, he makes it very clear that none of these people are particularly significant. They're not the ones who deserve the credit for the work of God. Go over to chapter 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. I planted, Apollos watered. God was causing the growth. It's a very low-key way to treat yourself. He doesn't give any elevation to anybody.
By the way, Peter doesn't give any elevation to himself.
Furthermore, Paul went to Rome to preach, and in Romans 15:20, he says, I aspired to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named. If Peter had been there and planted a church, then that would not be true. He didn't go where somebody else had been. If Peter was already the bishop of Rome, why would Paul want to go there and strengthen and establish that church? In 1 Peter, let's hear from Peter himself. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's all. An apostle of Jesus Christ. He introduces himself as nothing more than that. Not the apostle, not the head of the church. 1 Peter 5, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. As your fellow elder. I'm just one of you. I'm just a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for money, but with eagerness. Not as, here it comes, verse 3, lording it over those allotted to your charge. Boy, there's a direct hit at the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
We're just fellow elders. Don't ever lord it over. Peter himself actually taught against the priesthood, of which, of course, the papacy is the highest place. 1 Peter 2, 5, he says, you are living stones. You are built up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood.
That's where we get the priesthood of all believers doctrine that the Protestant church affirms. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church does not.
You know, it's the priesthood of believers.
I said that, John. You don't have to repeat everything. Is my microphone on right now? This is awkward.
Verse 9, you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. There's no priesthood, but the priesthood of believers. And by the way, Peter completely disappears after Acts 15, completely. But in spite of all of this, the Roman Catholic Church affirms that Peter was the first pope, the head over the whole church, and the author of papal succession.
Having said all that, how might one speak to a Roman Catholic on these issues? And my suggestion would be, you don't. To get into the deeper waters of these theological distinctions, probably not helpful. Furthermore, you're probably going to be seen as going after somebody that is very elevated in their esteem and somebody that they perhaps are very fond of. And that rarely goes well. Instead, might I suggest that you focus on grace alone try to bat away the papacy, even Mariology, purgatory. You can talk about purgatory because you can let the Roman Catholic Church know, the member know, I have such great news for you. You don't have to go to purgatory because, well, first of all, there is no such place. Second of all, Jesus paid it all. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. You can have your sins completely forgiven. Then you will do works in keeping with that salvation, motivated by that salvation, but not to earn that salvation. It's such great news, my Roman Catholic friend, Michael Knowles. You can go to heaven based on Jesus' merits alone. Take off the heavy yoke. Lay it down. Confess your sins to Christ. You don't need any intermediary. You go directly to Jesus Christ and you ask him for forgiveness. You put your trust in him and you will be saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And that, my Roman Catholic friend, is very good news. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.